Welcome back to Science with Sid. You're listening into 93.5 Unity FM. And I'm Sid here with, we've got three guests in the studio today. We've got Inayat, Omar and Yusuf, who have come in to talk about animals today. So just before the break, we were talking about the characteristics of animals. We were talking about the animal kingdom. And then we moved on to predator and prey relationships. So we're going to now look at what your favourite animals are. So who wants to go first in talking about their favourite animal? Right, Anaya, you've got your hand up. Come on then.
My favourite animal is penguins, because I just like penguins because they're small and they're cuddly and they're just like.
Where do penguins live?
Some of them, like, they don't really live. Not all penguins live in the North Pole. Some of them live in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't even live in where there's places where there's snow. Some of them live in, I can't really remember the name where it is.
And what category do penguins fall under?
Birds.
Birds, brilliant.
Things.
Excellent. So most people get confused there because they don't think that penguins are really birds. And I had to really think about that because they don't really look like a typical bird, do they? And they don't fly. Okay, so who wants to go next? Omar?
Well, my favourite animal is the leopard because it's very strong, it's got camouflage and it can climb trees.
Brilliant. And what type of animal is that?
It's a mammal.
Mammal, brilliant. And is that a predator or a prey?
It's a predator.
And we didn't talk about a penguin. Is that a predator or a prey?
They're kind of a predator because they hunt fish.
They hunt fish, brilliant. Right, okay, Yusuf, your turn. What's your favourite animal and why?
My favourite animal is a puma because it can jump really high. It can jump the length of a fire truck.
Oh,
and
wow.
It can climb trees. And, yeah.
And again, what category does that fall under?
It's a mammal.
It's a mammal. How do you know it's a mammal?
Because it feeds milk to its babies.
Brilliant. And it's got fur as well, doesn't it? Okay, so we're going to move on to now talking about how you felt about science before you started coming to the science workshops. So before you found out about these workshops, how was science at home for you and
I? It was just boring. I hated doing science. But now I come to the workshops, it's a lot more fun. Because I realised what you can do in science.
And why did you think it was boring before?
Because it was just writing.
So it was all theory-based?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do in the workshops that makes it more interesting?
Experiments. I like doing experiments.
Because you come to a lot of the lab days as well, don't you? So we'll talk about the lab days in a little while. Right, Omar, what about you?
Well, I like science because I thought it was fun when I first tried it out. Because there's all these different topics about science. And like chemistry and biology and animals and all those different types of
subjects. What about Yusuf? Do you enjoy science?
Before I didn't even know what science was. But when I came to the workshops, I found out that science is actually a type of subject that you learn in school.
Did you enjoy it before?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So Anayat has attended more recently, but Omar and Yusuf, I've known for a long time. Do you remember the very first workshop you guys attended? Do you remember? Omar?
Unfortunately, I don't think I remember because I'm not a type of remembering person.
But it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yep.
And Yusuf, do you remember?
I don't know.
You were 4 years old. How old are you now?
11.
11, wow, that was a long time ago. Do you remember what you made on that very first workshop?
What did I make? Oh yeah, I made a train station for my toys. I remember that.
Excellent. And what did we learn that session? Do you remember?
Yeah, we learned about like light bulbs and stuff.
And you put a little light bulb that switched on. Brilliant. So you remember that from when you were 4 years old. Do you still have that train station that you made?
I think so. Yeah, still having the classroom.
Oh wow, that was a long time ago. Okay, so you two have been coming for a while. So Anayat, when did you start coming?
I think when I was like 11.
So it's only been a year.
Two years?
Yeah. Are you 12 now?
13.
Oh, you're 13 now? Okay, so you started coming when you were 11. What was your first workshop that you came to?
I think it was about electricity.
Electricity, and we looked at making circuits.
Yes, circuits.
And things. Brilliant. Right, so this show's going to be aired on Thursday. And it was meant to be a live show, but we're stuck in a lab. We're going to be stuck in a lab doing some science experiments that day. And I think, Anayat, you're coming to that one.
Yeah.
And we're learning about chemistry, so we'll be doing some chemistry experiments. All of you have come to one or another lab day. So who wants to go first and tell us what we do at lab days? Yusuf?
Lab days, what you do is you do like experiments and stuff. You learn about different things, different, you know, stuff in science.
Is it experiments that you can normally do at home?
Unless you have all the stuff and you have an adult with you, I'd say go for it.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do at home because a lot of the, you need Bunsen burners. You did an experiment where we were looking at electrostatics and it was a Van de Graaff generator which made your hair go on end. Do you remember that? So all of those kind of things, they're very difficult to do at home. So that was your, do you remember the lab day that you came to the first lab day and it was a full day?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so we did lots of different experiments. Omar, which one did you come to?
Well, I came to the liquid nitrogen lab day.
Oh, which was really recent. That was the one that Dr. Slasky came.
Yep.
And Dr. Slasky was on the radio show a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about liquid nitrogen and things. So what did you like about that?
Well, I liked the bit where we got these different bits and bobs, like some flowers and rubber tubing, and we put them in the liquid nitrogen and pulled them back out, mm-hmm. and we smashed them and found out that they're already hard when we took them out of the liquid nitrogen.
So when we had a flower, so we were using fresh flowers. This isn't when he said flower, we don't mean the ingredients flour, we mean an actual flour. So the flour, it was a fresh flour, we were putting it into the liquid nitrogen, just so that the listeners know what we're talking about. We're putting it into the liquid nitrogen, and when we took it out, what had happened to it?
It was completely frozen and very hard.
Why?
Because the liquid nitrogen is very, very cold.
Excellent. So is it below 0 degrees?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's way, way below. So it's minus 100 and something degrees. I can't remember at the top of my head exactly what it is, but it is very cold. Okay, so do any of you guys know any examples of static electricity that you want to share with the listeners?
When you jump on a trampoline for a long time and then you touch the net around it or you touch someone, it gives you an electrical shock.
And why do you think that is?
Because you're generating electricity.
Well, not electricity, but you're generating charge. Because remember, how is charge... How do we create charge?
When you move a lot.
Yeah, when you're rubbing two insulators together. Okay, so you're insulated from the rest of, the floor, because you're on the trampoline. The trampoline is made from a surface which is going to be generally an insulator. So as you're jumping, your feet are rubbing against it, so you're generating that charge. Another good example, so we talked about the woolly jumper, but another example is, yeah?
A balloon.
Oh, balloon's a good one, yeah? So what happens with a balloon?
So, you rub it on your hair, and you rub it on your hair, like, all the time. And then you let go of it, and then someone touches the balloon, you get electric shock.
Well, with the balloon, you don't normally get that much of an electric shock. But what can you do with a balloon, an experiment that you can do? You
can stick it on the wall.
Stick it on the wall. How does that work? Can anyone explain how that works?
Because there's electrical wires in the wall, and then...
It's not about the electrical wires. Let's go... Back to what is everything made up of? So can we all have a think? What is everything made up of? So humans, tables, chairs,
atoms.
Atoms, brilliant. Right, now what's inside an atom?
Well, inside of atoms there's a nucleus.
Nucleus?
Nucleus, yeah.
Yeah.
There's the electrons and there's the protons and the neutrons.
Brilliant. Okay. Where did you learn that?
I learned it at the chemistry session, I'm pretty sure.
Brilliant. So you remember, that's really good. So there's a nucleus. What's inside the nucleus?
The protons and neutrons.
Brilliant. And then, Anais, what's whizzing around the nucleus?
The electrons.
Electrons, brilliant. Now, if we have, imagine a model of an atom. You might remember this, Yusuf, because you came to the electricity workshop when we did this. We made models of atoms using pom-poms and pipe cleaners, okay? And imagine lots and lots of atoms lying next to each other, okay? And I bring my hand and I'm touching this object from the outside. Which part of the atom am I going to be touching?
The electrons.
The electrons, because they're on the outer side, okay? When you rub really hard against an object... Okay, it's the electrons which you are going to make move. Okay? So when we, going back to the balloon now, when we are rubbing the balloon against our hair, let's just say the electrons are going from your hair to your balloon. Okay? We don't know which way they're moving, but we're just going to say that. Okay? So why then, when we put the balloon next to the wall, does it stick? What do we have inside the wall?
Insulator. Electrons.
Brilliant. We have atoms.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we have atoms inside the wall. Okay? When we bring our balloon close to the wall, the electrons in the balloon, because remember we've said that the balloon has collected lots of charge, okay? What will it do with the electrons in the wall? When you have two electrons next to each other, what happens?
They go crazy. They repel.
They repel. Brilliant, Yusuf. They repel. Do you remember that? They move away. You might not have covered this in chemistry, because in chemistry you talk about how the electrons are used in bonding. In physics we talk about a repulsion and attraction. Okay? So when you move the balloon close to the wall, okay, the electrons in the balloon will repel the electrons in the wall. Okay? So what happens to the electrons in the wall? Where will they move?
Onto the balloon?
No, because they're repelling the balloon. They want to move away from the balloon. So they will move as far as possible. So they will move onto the other side of the wall. So remember, the wall is thick. Okay? So they're going to move away from the surface of the wall. What's left on the surface of the wall then?
The neutrons and protons.
Brilliant. And what charge does that have? So what charge does the nucleus have? Is that positive or negative now?
It has a negative charge now. No, it has a positive charge.
It has a positive because it's lost its electrons. Neutrons have no charge. The protons are left behind, so it's got a positive charge. What happens when you, Yusuf, what happens when you've got positive and negative charge next to each other?
They connect.
Yeah, they attract. Okay? So they are attracting. So what you have then left is that the balloon will attract the protons in the wall, but remember, the protons in the wall can't move because the nucleus can't move. Okay, so what we then have is that the balloon will stick to the wall.
So is it like a magnet?
A bit like a magnet, though magnets work in a different way. So magnets, did any of you guys listen to the Dr. Slusky radio show?
No.
Okay, so you might want to go back and listen to that, because we were talking about magnets and how objects are magnetized, because magnetism is slightly different. All atoms have a sort of magnetic field in them. Okay, they act like little bar magnets. So that's different. So when you align those magnets, but it works in the same concept. Like north and north will repel, north and south will attract. Charges work in the same way. Okay, so we've gone into a lot of detail there with electrostatics. Okay, so what we're going to talk about now is we're going to go back to animals. Okay, and anything that you want to mention about animals that we haven't talked about yet? Because we talked about what we've done in the sessions. What would you like to do in the next two sessions?
I would like to work about the food web or the food chain.
Yeah, that's coming up. So we're going to learn about the food chains and the food webs. What else? Oh, we've got the animal man coming next week. Okay, so you're all invited to come and join us for that session. So animal man's coming on Tuesday. So you'll be able to see the categories from all the different animal kingdoms that we are currently studying. So that will be really good. What type of animals do you think he's going to bring from the mammals? Because remember, he won't be able to bring a lion or tiger. He's going to bring some animals in.
He might bring a squirrel.
Squirrels, yeah. We can find outside, can't we?
Might bring a monkey.
He might do, yeah. A monkey, maybe. What about a reptile and amphibian?
Probably
the standard ones.
Probably bring like a lizard.
Yeah,
or
probably
a
frog, sort of lizard, snake. Frog.
Snakes.
Snakes are standard one. Maybe a tarantula. So I think that'll be interesting. You'll get a chance to hold them as well.
I've held tarantulas before.
Have you? I remember I've got a photo of me when I was 7 and I've got a snake around my neck.
Yeah,
the animal man
the
came in.
Me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I managed that.
I held a snake before.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now is just briefly talk about, is there anything that you want to talk about with animals? No? Have we all exhausted the topic of animals? Okay, so next month, you guys are going to be studying microbes.
Mm.
Okay, so is there anything on that topic that you already know of?
Well, I've heard a little bit about microbes from, I think, the Redbird Falls in Antarctica.
Okay.
Well, the reason because it's called the Red Blood Falls is because they have some red particles in them which have iron, because iron, when it rusts, it turns to a sort of reddish colour. And in the Blood Falls, there's, I think, a giant lake, and inside that lake, there's some microbes in there, which are living there and, like, thriving.
Oh, I don't know this, so I'm going to have to do some research about the Red Blood Falls and see what we can find on that, because that sounds really interesting. Do we know what microbes are?
Tiny little organisms.
Brilliant. And we're going to be looking at, you know, the standard, have you done that experiment where you see how much bacteria and stuff is on your fingers and we grow that? Has anyone done that experiment before?
No.
So we'll be doing that experiment where we're going to get an agar dish and you're going to put your finger print into that dish. There's going to be stuff in there that you're going to be putting your finger into. Then you're going to wash your hands, and then you're going to put a finger in another petri dish, and we're going to leave it for a week. And what's going to happen is you'll see all this bacteria start growing. Okay, and then you'll be able to identify it as well. Some of the stuff you can look, and you can look through the microscope. So we think when we wash our hands that they're actually quite clean. But really, because if you look at your fingertip, remember there's lots of little ridges in your finger. Who's looked at their finger down a microscope?
Me.
You've done that? Anyone else? We did this in one of the sessions where we were using a microscope to look at down your on your hand. And did you see your skin cells?
I think so, but I can't really remember. I did it ages
Yeah,
before.
So you can see your skin cells. So there's lots of little ridges in your fingertips, and microbes will basically be in there unless you've washed your hands really, really, really well. Okay, you're collecting all these bacteria and little bits and pieces in on your hands and stuff. Okay, and even when you're touching surfaces, you're collecting stuff. People don't wash their hands when they go to the toilet. They're touching surfaces. So we're touching that. We're collecting stuff on our hands. So we'll be studying that. We'll be looking at vaccinations, how they work. We'll be looking at how viruses differ from bacteria and all the rest of it. So that should be a really interesting month. Okay. And then, so that's going to last for 4 weeks. What other topics do you want to do in the future? Yusuf?
Big cats.
Oh, we're doing animals at the moment. You love big cats, don't you? Okay, what do you know about big cats?
That they're a type of mammal.
The type of mammal? What else? You know lots of facts, so let's share some facts with the listeners.
Big cats, they... there's 40 different species of big cats.
Wow.
And big cats thrive literally... every country in the world, probably except Antarctica and the North Pole. Basically, the cold places.
Mm-hmm.
Some big cats can survive in water. Some of them rely on their parents for food. Some of them, well, one of them, in fact, hunts in groups. Yeah.
Brilliant. You know lots of facts about them. Well, why do you like them so much?
It's been an obsession with me since I was young.
Wow. Okay, so, Omri, you can add something.
Well, unfortunately, not all big cats are thriving because there's been, like, deforestation and hunting of big cats, which unfortunately is true. And hopefully, in the future, we can save the big cats from extinction.
Any of you seen the skeleton of a snake?
I think so.
I haven't.
It looks amazing. Have you seen it, Anna?
No.
You need to Google this because it looks absolutely amazing. I've never seen one until fairly recently, and you would never imagine that the backbone goes like the entire length, and the rib cage goes the entire length of the snake. It's really amazing. It makes it look like some sort of prehistoric skeleton. But we're coming to the end of the show now, so thank you for listening into today's Science Learning Show. We're going to have a similar format next week, but we are going to have a live show. So just to give you a little bit of an insight of what's going to happen next week is we're going to have a guest in the studio, and we're going to talk about a specific topic. It's going to be electricity, but we're going to be inviting listeners to call in and take part in a quiz at the end of the show. Okay, so you can go head to head with our guest and I'll be asking some questions, science related questions that we've talked about in the show, that you can then try and race against time to be able to answer them. Okay, so we've got 30 seconds. I'm going to fire some questions at you guys to see how much you remember from what we've talked about today. So Anayat, how many categories of animals are there?
Five.
Brilliant. What are the two main categories that distinguish the animals?
Vertebrates and invertebrates.
Brilliant. What does vertebrates mean, Yusuf?
Vertebrates are animals that have spine.
Brilliant. Can you name me one mammal, Inayat?
Humans.
Humans. Excellent. A reptile?
A lizard.
A fish?
Great white shark.
An amphibian?
A frog.
Brilliant. And a bird?
A falcon.
Falcon. Excellent. Name me a predator, Yusuf.
Puma.
What's a prey, Anayat?
A rabbit.
Yeah, an animal that gets hunted. Excellent. Right. We've reached the end of our show today. So this is 93.5 Unity FM, Science with Sid. Check us out on our Facebook page, Science with Sid. We will put on some links about some of the stuff we've talked about today. And we will see you next week on our live show, Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m. on Unity FM.
The blue sky is blue like blue bubble gum, but it prays to Allah, it prays to Allah. And like the flavor of the blue sky and the bubble gum won't last, we've got to thank Allah before our chances go past. I don't wanna be a grown-up like the grown-ups I have seen, 'cause the grown-ups I have seen don't seem to have much fun. They don't get down on the floor enough to pray or play with toys. When I'm a grown up, I won't wanna be one. Now if I live back at the time of the prophet, I know that he would be different. I just know he'd find the time and I would make him something special, like some paper planes or something. I could race those planes with him or get a camelback ride. The blue sky is blue like blue bubble gum, but it prays to Allah, it prays to Allah. And like the flavor of the blue sky and the bubble gum won't last, we've got to thank Allah before our chances go past. I'd like to write a promise, I want you to make it too, that if I misbehave a little like I sometimes do, you won't get really mad and you'll be patient like the prophet. I really love my promise. How about you? 'Cause the blue sky is blue like blue bubble gum, but it prays to Allah, it prays to Allah. And like the flavor of the blue sky and the bubble gum won't last, we've got to thank Allah before our chances go past. To be a mommy or a daddy must be really, really hard, so let's take a break together, 'cause I know how much you try. Let's have a dish of applesauce, then tumble in the yard, and we can play and we can pray along with the blue sky. The blue sky is blue like blue bubble gum, but it prays to Allah, it prays to Allah. And like the flavor of the blue sky and the bubble gum won't last, we've got to thank Allah before our chances go past. We've got to thank Allah before our chances go past. All the sounds that surround us, all the noises that dumbfound us, the clatter and the clamor of the clutter in our lives. Cars and streets make silence shatter, idle minds fill up with idle chatter. If we fill our void, that's all that matters. Why are the drums so silent? Why can't we hear the rhythm? What's wrong with you and I? Why are the drums so silent? Why can't we hear the rhythm from the heels of believers marching to the garden as they strive?
We've digitized the revelation. Does our rehearsed recitation go any deeper than our throats? Our calls to prayer seem to raise up to the sky. Conferences and lectures, seminars for you and I. The words that blow away with an ashid that make us cry. Yet why are the drums so silent? Why can't we hear the rhythm? What's wrong with you and I? Why are the drums so silent? Why can't we hear the rhythm from the heels of believers marching to the garden as they strive? And if we can just be brave enough to be each other's mirror, we may finally recognize the face of conscience that we fear. And if we can take the time to mute the noise we've built around ourselves, the rhythm of the heartbeats and the purpose may be clear.